Good morning. How are you, church family? How are you, visitors? So glad you've logged on to our online service today. All of us here at First Baptist Church in Columbus, we're all under construction. God's not finished with us yet. God's still working and making us more like Jesus all the time. That's why we've committed to follow Jesus Christ as his disciples. You know, we're in the midst of a sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew, and we're calling the whole series, Follow Me, because that's what Jesus invited us to do, to just simply follow him. Sometimes we make it so complicated when it's basically simple. So we looked in chapter 1 of Matthew, and what we were trying to focus in and zoom in on there was, who is Jesus? Oh, there are so many names of Jesus mentioned in that first chapter of Matthew's gospel. But then when we went into chapter 2, we shifted the focus away from Jesus himself and who we're following to one man who followed Jesus and who followed the Lord's commands, Joseph. And we saw last time, how does a dad follow Jesus? Well, this time we're going to go to chapter 3. And between chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are 30 years. So there's 30 years of silence between Matthew chapter 2 and where we're going to start in Matthew chapter 3. What could happen in your life? What could happen in your family's life within the next 30 years? Isn't that sobering to think about it? Well, we're going to look at another man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And so we're going to look at his life and we're going to consider, how can we prepare the way so that others would put their faith and their trust in Christ? You know, if you think about it, that's what we're going to do during Vacation Bible School. That's why we make a big deal about Vacation Bible School around here, is because we're trying to plow the ground and lay the foundation and get everything level so that we can share the gospel and these children can follow him for the rest of their lives. But what I want us to do today is to look at Matthew chapter 3, and Matthew is going to introduce us to this man, John the Baptist. What I want you to think about is, what is the spiritual role or responsibility of a father, of a dad? You know, happy Father's Day to all of you men. Thank you so much for your important role in the family. And so I want to share today how John the Baptist was called to prepare the way for the nation, for others to welcome Jesus. You know, I see that very similar to what a dad does. What would you say that a dad, how would you describe the role or the responsibility of a father? Someone has said that a father is neither an anchor to hold us back nor a sail to take us there, but a guiding light whose love shows us the way. You know, if you think about it, fathers are rarely there at the end of our life's journey. But what they are doing, what they're called to do, they blaze a trail at the beginning of the hike so that we know the right direction to head in. I once heard that a father holds his daughter's hand for a short while, but he holds her heart forever. You know, you have a limited amount of time, Dad, with your son, with your daughter. And so what I want us to do is to think about, how can you maximize that time the best? How can you, let's say if you're something like a pioneer, a trailblazer, you're going to carve out a trail so that your children can follow Jesus Christ. When I think of trailblazing, I personally think of the Wilderness Road blazed by Daniel Boone and 35 axemen who went through the Cumberland Gap. Did you know that over 200,000 people followed in his footsteps behind Daniel Boone and behind those axemen who carved that trail? You know, in the 1790s, they say that there were as many as 100 pioneers a day traveling over that one trail that they had carved. Perhaps you think of Lewis and Clark and their expedition. You know, there's a National Historic Trail that you could take to this day that's 4,900 miles long, crossing 16 states. Man, did those guys carve a long trail. How long of a trail are you carving? How clear of a trail are you carving to Jesus? Stephen F. Austin could be the one that you think of as Texans. You know, thinking about the old 300 families, how they came to Texas during the summer of 1824. I don't know who you think about, but I want us this morning to think about spiritual trailblazing. I want us to look at John the Baptist's life. And Dad, I want to encourage you to say, God, please use me to carve a clear trail so that my children, so that my grandchildren could follow Jesus Christ. I hope you found Matthew 3. I want us to look through this passage together. Let me read through Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along in your copy of God's Word there at home. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, please use this message. Oh, Lord, I know as a dad I still want to grow. I want to understand the responsibilities that I have, the calling that I have, the role that I have. Lord, if there's one thing that you've been saying to me all week long, my primary responsibility is to chart a course so that my children could follow Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, just like John the Baptist, would you give us the tools that we need to chart the course so that others will follow Christ, especially our own families? And so bless this time. Thank you for those that are watching and listening at home. Would you encourage them and bless them? Equip them. Use this message to glorify and honor your Son, for he is worthy. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I want to invite you to look with me at this passage. I would like to give you five tools that I think we find here if we're going to chart a course after Christ. We can do this for our children and say, Lord, thank you so much for placing this passage of Scripture right here where we can learn from it. The first tool that I would like to hand to you from this passage is found in verse 1 when it says simply, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In the wilderness of Judea. The first tool that I would like to place in your hand, I believe God's already placed it there, would be the pliers of tenacity. The pliers of tenacity. You know, if you were to study history, I am certain that you would soon discover that pioneering, it isn't easy. It isn't easy. It's always rough and tough. Where was John's training camp? Where did God get him ready for his ministry? Well, it says here, the wilderness of Judea. The wilderness of Judea. Have you ever studied that? You know, the wilderness of Judea at that time was an incredibly wild place, uninhabitable region. It was incredibly dry. I mean, we're talking so dry that they would receive in that region less than 2 inches of rain a year. So think about how dry and parched it would be. It was also located along something known as the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. Wow, we've heard of the Red Sea, but this is the Dead Sea. You know, Matthew tells us in chapter 3, verse 1, that John the Baptist was preaching, right? Doesn't it say that? Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. But do you know why he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea? Because he had first been listening in the wilderness of Judea. God was speaking to him there. You know, that's where John the Baptist went in order to understand God's direction on his life and on his ministry. Luke chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that the word of God came to John in the wilderness of Judea. And so just think about how he was growing and developing. Think about all those hard times that he must have gone through out there in the wilderness, where there were very few resources and there were no people living out there. Listen, dads, I know that in your life, you've probably had hard times. Maybe you've suffered. Maybe it's been very difficult. Perhaps even this year, maybe during the coronavirus, this has been a very tough time. Maybe you've been laid off work. I don't know all that you've been through, Dad. But here's the thing I know. All that you've been through was so that you could prepare your kids, so that you would take all of those experiences, all the growth and maturity that God has done in your life, take that now and lead your children through that. You know, I wanted to just read a few verses. You can stay where you are. You can follow me if you like. But I want to share with you three verses from Psalm 119. There's so many great treasures and gems that are found in this passage. But in Psalm 119, I want to show you something that's found in verse 67. In verse 67, and then also found in 71 and 75. Listen to verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Is that what God has done in your life, Dad? Have you started to drift off and then all of a sudden things happen that are challenges and hard times and they bring you back? You know, think about verse 71 of Psalm 119. It is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? Why would that be good that somebody was afflicted? Well, listen to the rest of the verse. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You see what I'm trying to say, Dad? I'm trying to say that whenever you were going through the hard time, that is something God was going to use in your life so that you could prepare and equip your kids in case they go through difficult times. As a matter of fact, in verse 75, he goes on to say, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. You know, if God allows something difficult to come into your life, I want you to know that it is in faithfulness that God has allowed that to even enter your life. So God's handed you a pair of pliers. You know, pliers help us to get a grip, right? But if you don't watch it, rather than getting a grip, we begin to gripe. There's not a lot of difference between those two words, grip and gripe. But God wants you to learn to grip, learn to hold on to him and hold on to his promises and his word. That would be the first tool that I feel God has placed in our hands as fathers that we can in turn blaze a trail for our children to follow Jesus. Let me give you a second one, though. A compass. A compass. You know what a compass is for. Have you ever been in a densely wooded forest? Have you ever been in a barren wilderness? If you have, then you know right away that it's very easy to get turned around and disoriented. It's easy to lose your orientation whenever you're in a forest or in a wilderness and everything looks the same. You don't know which direction is the right direction. That's why I think we need the compass of priority. And that's something only God can do. You know, John didn't try to do everything. He knew that his purpose and his priority was one thing. You know what the one thing that John the Baptist felt was his priority? I'm going to get these people ready to receive Christ. I'm going to get these people ready to follow Christ. You know, I see that as being the role of parents, don't you? That's like our main primary responsibility. that we would follow Christ in such a way that we would be able to say to our children, I'm blazing a trail. Just get behind me and follow me as I follow Christ. You know, Joshua was a trailblazer. Remember in the Old Testament? Remember what he said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15? He said, choose this day whom you will serve. And oh, he listed a bunch of possible gods that people could have served. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, I encourage you, Dad, make it clear where you're going. Make it clear where you want your children to go. You know, when I thought about our priorities, I looked at these verses, for example, verse 2 and verse 5 and 6, and I saw at least three priorities. Let me give you those three priorities. The first priority is the orientation priority. You know, he says, repent, repent. You know, repent means when you've been going one way and you turn and you go the opposite direction because you realize I've been going the wrong way. I've been charting my own course. It's all been about me and what I wanted, or I've been doing what other people wanted. But now I'm going to turn and repent and go in the direction that the Lord wants me to go. Repent is a change of mind followed by a change of direction, a change of action and conduct. So that's one thing you want to lay upon your family's hearts, is that orientation priority. Please stay properly aligned with the Lord. If you're not, then repent. But let's move to the second thing it says in verse 2. Not only repent, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to call this not the orientation priority, but the coronation priority. The coronation, when you crown someone as king. You know, I believe it's very possible for us to take back the throne of our life, the throne of our heart. Whenever we've asked Jesus, please, you be my Lord, you be my master, you're my God, I want to follow you, I want to obey you. But it's possible to put self back on that throne and begin to live a carnal Christian life. That's why I encourage you, please remind your children and your family to always come back to the coronation priority. Is Jesus still Lord? Is Jesus still number one in your life? I want to move from the orientation priority of repent, the coronation priority of the kingdom, is it being at hand, to move to the proclamation priority. Because even during a time like this, when we have to self-quarantine and everyone's being careful and some things aren't open yet and some are and all back and forth and so forth, you know, verses 5 and 6 remind me of something. It reminds me that still we are responsible for other people. We're still responsible to proclaim the gospel, whether that's through social media, the telephone, cell phones, texting, Twitter, whatever you want to use. We need to say, Lord, even though I can't go out there, I can still be a witness for you through some other way. I can write a letter. Why don't you write a letter and send it to someone? The proclamation priority can be seen in verses 5 and 6, where all of these people, even people in big cities, did you see what they did? They left Jerusalem. They left all Judea. They left this entire region, and they went out to where John the Baptist was, out there in the wilderness. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. I want you to know God knows where you are, and God can use you right where you are. But we have to say, okay, Lord, I haven't been using the compass. Now I've made life all about me. Please help me reorient myself now. So do that with your kids. Teach your children that it's not all about them, that it's about Christ. Let's move to the third tool that I think we can find here. Definitely, I would say you're going to need this tool if you're going to be cutting down trees and blazing a trail. You're going to need the axe. But what kind of axe? The axe of humility. I'm sure that Daniel Boone would have included a good axe if he was making a list of things that are needed in order to be an effective trailblazer. But I did read one time where he said, I know what you need in order to have a happy family. You know what he said? He said, you need a good gun, you need a good horse, and you need a good wife. Wow, isn't that great? I don't have a horse. I do have a gun, but I don't use it that much. And so I'm thinking, at least I got one out of three. I got a good wife. Hey, how about you? Has God blessed you You know, I think that God wants us to raise our children to know that there's nothing better they can do than to humble themselves before the Lord. You know, at first glance, you know, some people might read about John the Baptist and they would say, look how prideful he is. Look how he's so bold and courageous and he's so arrogant and conceited. But that's not it at all. You've totally missed the spirit that John the Baptist was characterized by. It says, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You see, John wasn't saying, do it my way. No, John the Baptist was saying, let's do it the Lord's way. Let's prepare the way of the Lord. Let's make his path straight. You see the difference? Wow. You know, I really believe that if you look closely at this man, you're going to see spiritual greatness. Do you know that Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, there's no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that an incredible statement? I mean, who can you think of in the Old Testament? You think of Job, you think of David, you think of Moses and Elijah. And Jesus looked at all of the history and he said, you know what? Nobody has lived such a life that I would call great as this man, John the Baptist. You know, it's amazing that Gabriel said to John the Baptist's parents in Luke 1:15, before he was ever born, Gabriel said this, you know, that son that you're going to have is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Great in the sight of the Lord. You know, I think that's what we need when we measure greatness. Are you going to look to Hollywood? Are you going to look to Nashville? Are you going to look to Houston or Dallas? Or where are you going to look? New York, California? Where are you going to look for greatness? You know, I would say, let's look to Jesus. Let's look and see who is humbling themselves before the Lord. You know, listen to the modesty that John the Baptist was characterized by when he says here, you know what? After me, there's one coming who is mightier than I. John the Baptist wasn't saying, look at me, how strong I am. He was saying, no, look at Jesus, how incredibly powerful he is. He was not saying that he was worthy, John the Baptist. He was saying, I'm not worthy to carry Jesus' sandals. Isn't that amazing? See, John was aware of a future accountability, that someday he was going to give account to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all of us need to remember that. It says his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. You know, there's really only two different groups there, right? There's his wheat and the chaff. The chaff. I don't want to be just chaff. I want to be wheat that the Lord would say, that's what I was looking for in a man. What is God looking for in a man? You know, Micah 6, verse 8 says, what does God require of you, O man? You know what God requires? It's very simple, really. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Let me read that one more time. Micah 6, 8. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Humility is what God is looking for. So use the acts of humility when you're trying to carve out a path for your kid's future. Let's move to the fourth item on the Trailblazers list, a backpack. You ever had a heavy backpack? A backpack of simplicity, though. Verses 3 and 4, verse 11. Do you know that I read an article this week that said that millennials are $1 trillion in debt, more than any other generation in history? You know, millennials were born between 1981 and 1996. Is that you? Do you know that he says a lot of them are in debt because of student loans? Yes, but there's something else. Credit card debt. Credit card debt is the number one source of the debt that they're facing. Sometimes I think we're trying to take on more than we really have to have in life. You know, the average out there for a millennial these days, they owe $38,000 to $42,000. But you look at John the Baptist. How much did he have to have? Well, John the Baptist lived a life of simplicity. He had a simple mission. I'm going to try to prepare the way for for the one that's coming after me. He had a simple manner, didn't he? You know, he didn't have to have all the finest clothes. I'm sure if he'd have gone in Jerusalem and hung around the Herods, he would have found out that, oh man, look at their clothes. But he wasn't concerned about having everybody notice him. He wasn't concerned about eating all the nicest food. He had a very simple menu, and he also had a very simple ministry. He said, just turn to the Lord. Just reorient yourself. Would you do that, Dad? Help your kids to see that they don't have to have everything that's out there. Help them learn to be content with what they have. One fifth and final tool is the flashlight of verity. The flashlight of verity. You know, verity is something that is true. Verity is what, like a carpenter used when he puts a level and tried to find out if something is straight or not. It'll tell him the truth. It's easy to hide in the darkness. It's easy for things to be distorted in the darkness. But whether it is a torch, a candle, a lantern, or a flashlight, you get a true picture of things when you do one thing. Turn on the light. Just turn on the light. You know, Psalm 119:105 says, your word is like a lamp for my feet. It's like a light for my path. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the unfolding of your word gives light. You ever just feel like you're wandering around in the darkness? Let me tell you, there's light. There's light. You know, I think that a dad should help his kids to get connected to this light. A dad should shine the light for his kids so that they can see the way. You know, the truth about the direction would also be one thing that they could do. Whenever he says to them, you brood of vipers, which direction are you going? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You could look at the direction that your kids' lives are going. Are they students? Are they college students? Are they young adults? Which way are they running? Talk to them in kindness and love and care about that. What about the truth about the demonstration of their faith? You know, not only which direction were they fleeing, but what about fruit? John says to this group, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. There ought to be evidence that we actually are following Christ, that we know the Lord, that our lives are being changed from the inside out. And then I thought it was a sobering thing, especially for any children that are raised by Christian parents, to think carefully about this verse 9. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. So to tell them the truth about dedication to the family of God. You know, sometimes I think people would say, well, I grew up in a Christian family, so I must be a Christian. Not if you haven't personally trusted Christ. That's why I'm so excited. I join with two dads in our congregation who have both talked to me just within the last week about their sons. There's two sons that are going to be baptized coming up in July. I'm so excited with these two dads because what they see is my son is really living it. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, I pray that we will all be good examples of godly families. I believe there are several good examples of godly families that are really out there if we'll look in our church, in our community, around the country, across the world. You know, what they're trying to do is to say, here's a trail, follow Christ. I thought about, for example, Henry Blackaby and how he's definitely carved out a really clear trail for his kids. I thought about Josh McDowell and how he's left behind a clear trail for his kids. As a matter of fact, I read an interview with Sean McDowell about how his parents never put pressure on him to enter the ministry. You know, someone like Josh McDowell has written so many books, who's spoken so much, it'd be easy to put pressure on his kids. But you know what he didn't? Here's what he said. This is what Sean McDowell said that he heard from his dad's lips. Son, God's given you a lot of gifts. Just use those gifts for the kingdom. Whatever that looks like, that's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Just live for Christ. Just live for his glory. Whatever that looks like. You know, I thought about how Richard Blackaby, he had learned at the feet of his father, his mother, for so many years, and now he's raising his own kids. I think his three children are actually in their adult years, but Richard and I were at Southwestern Seminary at the same time, and when I was in Canada, Richard was the president of the Canadian seminary that's there for Southern Baptists. But I just thought about how Richard Blackaby says in his book that's about experiencing God at home, he says that he and his wife, Lisa, use seven principles on how to raise their kids. So you could come up with your own principles of how to raise your kids. But all I'm saying is, John the Baptist, this is how he did it, to prepare the way. But the Blackabys said this: number one, trust God throughout the process. Number two, keep the rules few. Don't have too many rules in your home. But the ones that you have, he said, keep them non-negotiable. Keep those rules in place. Number three, respect and support family members. There's no reason for us to disrespect or show a lack of support for family members. And skipping church, number four, is not an option. Skipping church is not an option. Number five, don't be too proud to ask for help in parenting. Number six, focus on what matters. And number seven, seek to create a home of joy. You see what Richard and Lisa Blackaby were doing? They're carving. They're carving a trail for their kids. Now their kids are in their 20s. What about you? Have you carved a good trail for your children to follow Christ? Let me lead us in a prayer. Would you pray with me and ask God to continue to give you wisdom as you continue to go before your children, blazing the trail before them? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for leaving this passage in the Word of God. There's so much we can learn from John the Baptist. Lord, to my knowledge, he was not married. He was not a dad. But he was definitely preparing the way so that others could follow Christ. And when I think about my responsibility as a father, I think that's what I'm mostly responsible for, is preparing the way that my girls might follow Christ as his disciple. And so, Lord, would you equip each dad? I know it's not easy in this day and time. So encourage them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, bless their example. Lord, I know that all of us are broken. All of us are imperfect. We're just like behind me with this construction zone scene. Oh, Lord, all of us are under construction. And so I pray that you would help us to continue to allow you to fashion and form and make us into those men that you want us to be. But then, beyond us, help us to think about the next generation. I pray that we would also prepare our kids and our grandkids that they would be strong and mighty disciples who would always follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks so much. Dad, I hope you have a great day. Happy Father's Day once again. You have a great day, and I pray that God will bless you as you go through the rest of the summer. Love the rest of the family too, but today's Father's Day, so we're so excited for them. But anyway, God bless you. Have a great week.